Anthony Volpe put a charge in one. A grand slam to left field, and the Yankees now take a 5-2 lead.
John Sterling finally gets one, and he doesn't have a fancy saying.
I know.
For Volpe?
But Anthony Volpe, he's a Molpe. Is that even a word? I don't know.
Like, we could do much Volpean, a Volpean home run.
A Volpean home run. Volpe.
There's a lot. Like that. There's a lot there. None of that should be used that we just threw out in the last 5 seconds, but there is something there, and there is something to the World Series still, as the New York Yankees are alive. 11-4 win over the Dodgers last night.
The most disappointing part of the game last night was...
Is that those two fans didn't actually fall out of the stands and break their neck they should have? That freaking meatball. God, I want to take a baseball to his freaking head.
I was dying laughing because there was no regard for anything. He just like grabbed the glove, tried to pry it open.
It's like opening a clam.
The ball.
The jaws of life.
I was dying laughing. Like, you've got it. Like, that's not real. Like, that's not real.
Bartman was trending.
Bartman, yeah.
It's been 30 years. Like, I don't want to hear any more about how great Yankee fans are, true baseball fans. They're jackasses. Like, universally, going back to little 12-year-old Jeffrey Mayer in 96, up through when the Rangers had him in the ALCS in 2010, and somebody snatches Nelson Cruz the ball from him and then starts flipping him off right above his head, to this whole thing, they're jackasses, just like they are up there in general. And so their fan base is, and that's where it is.
And Volpe redeems himself.
Redeems himself from the from the base running blunder that he had in this game, where he somehow doesn't score from second on a ball that hits the wall and then careens off it and goes about 28 feet from the center fielder. You don't tag from second with one out, champ. Well, you learned that at 8 years old. Go halfway. It's just the way it is. But that's a youth sports rant that I had going on last night. I was very upset because these coaches don't teach the game. They just want to win a ring in the Santa Cup that they play in November. Like, that's what they're looking to do. But I'm a little upset with the way the game ended, because the sport was one out away in game one from having 2-2 with the pitcher of the era on the hill. And that would have been great theater, right? It would have been great. It would have been massive TV rating tonight. But we're not there. We're still in a, hey, the Dodgers are going to win this. But yeah, when are the Dodgers going to win this? I mean, it might go back to L.A. Cole's, they're going to be favored tonight. Cole's a better pitcher than Flaherty is. So it might go back to L.A. It's going to end there. It's going to end with the Dodgers winning probably in game six. But, I mean, we were one out away of something that could be really cool. And that was a bummer. That was the big bummer for me last night.
Freddie Freeman continues to make history. A home run in six consecutive World Series games.
What they were saying in Cleveland in the ALCS, where it was like, why would you pitch to Soto there? Walk him. Why would you pitch to Freddie Freeman? Just at this point, just get him on and throw to Teoscar and worry about that. I don't know why anybody would throw the ball to Freddie Freeman. And if you're going to throw it to him, it better be a changeup low and away.
And don't throw inside.
Don't throw inside. Don't throw him a fastball.
The 4 or 5 home runs are like all on the inside part of the plate.
Absolutely. Sometimes these pitchers just blow my mind. Now Gerrit Cole, he's a little bit better. I mean, he might go high. He might go up and in, right? He might be able to pinpoint his fastball a little bit better. Not when you're down 3-1. I mean, you can't risk it.
I follow some Dodgers fans and I follow some Yankees fans, and I think I've seen...
What time did you wake up?
4:40.
You look dead. You look dead.
Thank you.
Hot mess.
Appreciate it. I looked at my Twitter timeline, and over this entire World Series, I think I've seen more tweets from Braves fans than I have Dodgers or Yankees fans, where people are just complaining about Alex Anthopoulos. You POS. How did you let Freddie Freeman leave here and not be an Atlanta Brave for life? Because this dude is clearly like big time.
Yeah.
And just like salt of the earth type of baseball player, and he's now like we get to watch the Dodgers.
Hall of Fame technician that, you know, some big names have moved around in the National League. Goldschmidt, Arenado, Freeman. It kind of felt like they were all moving during that same time. And Freddie Freeman was not the biggest name amongst the three, it felt like.
Right.
But he is going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, now he's got this. So he's got 2025, 2026, and then 2027. So he'll be 38 when the deal's done. And, you know, so it, like the chances are that this is his last great moment. Because he is, you know, he is hitting that age where you do start to decline.
Yeah, but this guy could be Edgar Martinez DH.
He is a pro.
He's just a pro.
He is a pro. Was it Jeter that called him like the lefty, left-handed Edgar Martinez? What he called him in the pregame or whatever?
I wasn't watching.
Somebody. It wasn't last night. It was really. But the point is like that. You're right. He could be that because you don't need to run.
Yep.
He plays first base. You know. He's. You don't have to be this incredible athlete. You don't have to throw. So he could stick around for a while.
The big news, when you wear your pants like that, you have to be a technician.
Yes.
You have to be a scientist in terms of doing something. Maddox, he looks like Greg Maddox at the plate. Just that dork up there. But the big news before the game were Yankee fans losing their minds. And Brett Boone, the brother of the Yankee manager, is going to join us at 9 o'clock. This morning, all the emotions that he's going through, we will relive it and live it with him live on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. But his brother Aaron moved. It wasn't Aaron Judge that got moved. No. It was not Soto. Giancarlo Stanton gets moved down in the lineup.
Yeah, he goes from four to fifth. And they move Jazz Chisholm, who has an OPS of about 450 in the postseason. They move him to fourth. Now, they did it to split the lineup, the lefties up, you know, split the righties up. So you're going to go righty, lefty, righty, lefty, right? So they would go through the first six hitters. So you're going to break that up, but still, it makes no sense. Like, why is Stanton the one to move, not the guy who.
Give him possibly one less at bat.
Right. Give him possibly one less at bat because, you know, Chisholm is not a great hitter. I mean, he's just as likely to strike out as he is to get the ball on the, you know, to get the bat on the ball. You would think you move Stanton to third and then Judge down to fifth, but they didn't do that.
And Yankee fans were just waiting for the World Series to end with Stanton on deck.
I know.
That's man exactly on, bases loaded, yep. Two on, opportunity, and it ends with Stanton
down
on deck.
Down a run, yeah. And here he comes. Absolutely, that's exactly what they were waiting for. And you know, they got lucky. They really got lucky that it didn't come to that last night.
But he's probably going to do it again tonight.
I guarantee you they're going to do it again today.
Yeah.
They're absolutely going to do it again today.
I'm rooting for the Yankees right now to go ahead and extend this thing. Probably the Dodgers in the end, but I want to see it continue to last.
I wanted it to sweep. I hate the Yankees so much. There's nothing that I appreciate or respect about that organization. And for me to root for Shohei Ohtani to sweep in the World Series should tell you I hate the Yankees.
How compromised is Shohei?
Man,
it looks like he's laboring with every swing.
It does look like he is laboring with every swing. You can get him outside now. You know, he's not really able to, because that's his, you know, you punch, you know, when you're punching there and it just can't do it. He wasn't great before then in the playoffs this year. He had a very Judge-like playoff, but he was much more effective. The difference is he wasn't striking out. Judge was striking out. Shohei was putting bats to the ball. Well, now Shohei is striking out a lot more. I mean, he just can't. He can't get anything on his swing at this moment.
And now a question is going to be, with everyone getting healthy, you know, in a fourth quarter blowout, everyone gets their buckets, who can get a rhythm? Can Judge get any type of rhythm? He got a late hit when the onslaught was on, so we'll see what takes place with Game 5 tonight.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the pitching, too, again, and, you know, the Yankees will be favored, they'll have Cole, but, you know, Judge has to hit more than he has. A walk here or there. I think he had a walk and a hit by pitch and then a single. Like, that's just not what they need from him. They need doubles. They need power. I'm a little upset he didn't have a double on that one. I had, you know, $50 to win 300 on that. He was going to get a double yesterday.
$50
to win 300. You find these little odds, right? You find these little ones. There was a Tommy Edman home run the other night that hits that 6-8-1. You know, you get some of those odds, those nice odds out there. I know, Bobby, I'm a degenerate.
50, I mean, you didn't have to put 50 on it, dang, just for a double. Meanwhile, hoops taking place in Minnesota, and Luka with a Wolves 2.0.
Timer is down to 5. Doncic can't find any space. 3 seconds, 2, deep one, Doncic!
Oh my gosh.
Bingo!
His only 3 of the night. Is another Wolves dagger as the Mavericks win on the road against kind of new look Minnesota 120 to 114. Mavs moved to 3-1. Wolves fall to 2-2.
Yeah, Luka was bad for a lot of this game.
10 for 27.
We had, of course, the patented, I'm hurt. Got a limp to the locker.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Did I tear my ACL? Like, it looks like he's not going to be able to move again. And then he comes back out, and it's like, oh, yeah, scoop layup, 32-foot three-pointer, turn, scream to the Minnesota crowd. It is exaggerated every single time he gets any sort of a...
Oh, now you want to say that.
No, it's what you said.
Last year when I was saying that, you were busy kissing his ass. So
I think his knee was really hurt.
Guts it out. He just really hurt all the time. He's an actor.
I think he was genuinely hurt last year. This year, it was... It strikes me as like... I mean, in general, every time it feels like he's milking an injury or making it worse than it was. But he comes up big when he needs to. This is all about Kyrie, though. Kyrie was so damn good throughout this whole game, and they were really able to lean on him, especially when it looked like Anthony Edwards in the first quarter was going to score 60.
That shot was about 10 feet further than the one he had over Gobert last year. The range these guys have today is remarkable. Did you hear that call? That's how you do a call, Kevin Harlan. Okay, in game four of the NBA playoffs. You don't have to scream at me. That's how you do a call. Wait till the playoffs to scream at me. I love you.
Glad Kevin lives here in the Metroplex and goes on the station, but won't be on this show. It did not seem to me like Kyrie had 35. Like, he had spurts, and I'm like, okay, I'm noticing him here. He ends up with 35 points, and he had the post-game interview on TNT.
Kyrie, how did you guys survive that last run that they went on?
Oh, goodness. Just very resilient and understood what the game plan was. They were making a lot of threes. We got to stay to their bodies. We know this team very well. They know us very well. So we knew it was going to be a personal one, emotions high. Just grateful that we came in here and got the dub.
Speaking of making threes, you made one in a very key moment of this game. How do you continue to find the right time and make the shots no matter what you've shot prior to?
I give God all the glory. I'm just grateful I get a chance to perform at a high level. And, the moves that I work on when no one's watching, get to perform them out here. So grateful it went in. My teammates trusted me.
You've often been called everybody's NBA's favorite player. Yeah. I've been told by several you finish the best at the rim. Your head coach says that you're legendary in the paint. What is that hard work like? How do you get to that point where you can do it anytime you want?
It starts dreaming as a kid and having an imagination. And when you get to this level, the guys get more athletic, they get quicker. So you just got to adjust. And I missed a few layups tonight, so I feel like I got to still earn that title every single night. But it feels good. Get into the paint, be able to finish amongst the bigs.
So Luka afterwards saying, got to realize how tough of a win this is when we land, when we get in, when we're waking up. And the second night of a back-to-back W.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, it's clearly the lack of sleep with Luka coming out a little whiny yesterday. Early on, it hasn't been as bad.
No. I give him credit. I'm going to give him Micah Parsons-type credit for an adjustment. My complaint about Luka was going to be at the end. Before he hit the three, he completely stops down with the ball in his hands to stare at the referee after a call he thought should have went his way. Like, the play, this isn't like the other team is in transition. Okay, you can lag back. Like, the play's going on right in front of you. Crucial moment of the game, stops down. But overall, I think he's been a completely different person emotionally.
Yeah, I think he was baiting a little bit last night, trying to get calls that were not coming his way. And he got a tech. We got two games in a row now with a Luka tech. And so that's kind of where he's at right now. A little bit frustrated, but ultimately got it done. The thing that's funny to me listening to that post-game interview, though, is Kyrie just... where we've come to, where we're like, oh, Kyrie, the malcontent, everything else. And then he's like, oh, shucks, me, a good basketball player? I mean, yeah, like, that's so nice of them to say.
He's a saint.
That's
Mother Teresa.
It is insane the way they slip. And they do all this without Klay Thompson doing anything, really. I mean, he puts up seven shots, all of them threes, makes two. But that's the benefit of getting the third scorer in Klay, is that, you know, Luka can shoot 5 for 22 the other night, and they're still going to pick it up. They can miss Kyrie early in the season, and those two are going to pick it up. That's the benefit that you get.
And Gafford was awesome in this game, especially early. He goes 6 for 6, the Wilt-like numbers that we saw from last year. Mavs get the dub. Another example that these Dallas Cowboys just don't get it. The audio to go along with it, the Hump Day edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Just getting started on The Fan. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. It's the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. We're going to start previewing the Atlanta Falcons because this game feels that important. Mm-hmm. Let's just start doing it on a Wednesday. Carl Dukes from Atlanta will join us 7:20 on your home of America's team. Right now, Choppy, the spread is?
It's Atlanta by 2.5.
Atlanta by 3. The over-under is 51.5. So the spread is 3. There's Jerry Jones on TV with our interview on one of the stations. That's not NBC5, so I'm not going to say who they are. But speaking of local media, here's another example of the Dallas Cowboys' current leadership. I put Dak Prescott to the side, just not getting it. This is a little clip from Trayvon Diggs going on Micah Parsons' podcast right after Mike McCarthy said earlier in the day, hours before, let's put all that other stuff to the side. Micah's like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna sit there and get the guest of honor, and we're going to talk about this even more after McCarthy tries to flush it. Listen to Trayvon Diggs. See if y'all agree with this. Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons on the local Cowboy media here in DFW.
It almost seems like your media is painting a worse picture than anybody else out there. You know what I'm saying? Because they basically got the up-close look, and they kind of, you know, I kind of seen last night that, you know, some of our media staff was saying this is the worst team chemistry and team morale that they seen since Colt. But how would they know that if they only in a locker room for, you know, an hour throughout the week? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just weird to me that your team's media is like trying to portray an image about you, or trying to like throw dirt on your name or throw dirt on your team's name. Like, we supposed to be one, we supposed to be together. I know that's journalism, and you know, they got to report what they report, but at the end of the day, you should be trying to protect us, if anything. You know, not trying to be buddy-buddy with you, smile in your face, trying to talk to you, then talking about you online. Like, just don't talk to me. Like, we don't got to talk at all. Like, I don't need to do interviews with you. You want to ask me something, we can talk on the podcast, and we could figure it out on our own.
We're supposed to be together, and at the end of the day, you're supposed to be protecting us. This is Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs.
You two have no idea how much you're protected, to be honest.
I don't know.
What's your point?
This is why I don't want to hear anybody say that the Cowboys media is a tough media. It's not. I mean, we've seen tough media. Tough media is Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Chicago.
Well, these guys think it is tough media.
They think it is, but it isn't. Like, you know, we from this side know what tough media looks like.
Yeah.
You know, because there are a faction of the fans that do want blood in every town, right? Even here, they do want blood.
Yeah, every Tuesday at 8:30.
Right. A majority of them don't. They want to hear the good. They want there because there's a larger faction that don't like it when the media is critical. They don't want to hear it on social media. We see it all the time. This is not a tough media, and those two especially better thank their lucky stars that they didn't get drafted by the Eagles or the Giants or whoever.
Trayvon's living on another planet. He really is. And the crazy thing about it, they didn't come from small time. No coverage programs. Now, when Trayvon was at Bama, they're winning, right? So everything is better in college with all the glory days when you're dominating. But, you know, Mikey came from Penn State. It gets a lot of coverage as well. Not like Alabama, but this takes me back to this. This was Diggs in my DMs. When I had the report that some in the building were rolling their eyes and getting tired of Micah's ways, Trayvon Diggs hit me up and he said, "You weird for that. Still an all-time brain F that I've never been able to get out of my head." It's a great line. "You weird for that." And he basically, when we were going back and forth, and it wasn't a fight. I was trying to be constructive. I think he was trying to be constructive. I give him credit for that. But the big thing I took out of that was like, why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this to my family? Why are you doing this to our families? And it was so personal and so out of touch. And I'm actually glad that he said it in a broadcast medium for everyone to hear their mindset. And the other thing is, I know that they're aware of Stephen A. and First Take and all the shows. They are much harder and more critical of Bobby Bell and John Machota and Todd Archer and Calvin Watkins and those that cover the team. Now, obviously, in this situation, they're talking about Mike Leslie, but people are around enough. Yeah, just an hour in the locker room. People are. That's the point of local media, to talk to other people, to get the sense of the locker room, not just from you, because you guys are not going to give very much in there. How do you think I got the Micah stuff? How do you think I got that Dalvin Cook was playing? None of the players told me any of that stuff. It's other people associated with the football team, and you're getting that locally versus nationally. But nationally, people destroy the Dallas Cowboys much more than local.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like I said, they don't seem to have a great grasp on what it is that we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Which is ironic given how often Trayvon comes out and goes, you don't know football, you don't know my job, you don't know this. It's like, I mean, yeah, same.
At first I was like, is he talking about just like DallasCowboys.com? But I think he's just talking about maybe, like, local media.
He's like sitting there asking the same question about Jerry. Like, did Jerry, was Jerry talking about us? Or was he talking about, mm-hmm. did he think it was, DC.com? Or does he think he does for some reason have some sort of hand in what we do? It's the same sort of thing where it's almost like, does Trayvon not get that it's an independent, like, it's separate from the team? Does he think we're all somehow, like, paid by the team? Everybody who's in there, or everybody's got some sort of contract with the team?
You know what else is insane? They're not 6-1.
No.
They're not 5-2. Now, are we overreacting to 3-4? I think we need to have that discussion. You are what your record says you are, Bill Parcells. Are you or are you not? But it's not like you're world beaters. You haven't proven anything. No one is impressed with the Dallas Cowboys. I think that's a safe thing to say. Maybe we're overreacting, season over, playoffs over. You're not going to win any playoff games. But for damn sure, everyone agrees they have not impressed in any way, and still they sound butthurt. That's what's nuts. They're not even operating from a position of power in the standings.
Yeah, I would say
they're not in first place. I'd like it.
Reflect it just for anybody who is curious about what the climate is in the Cowboys locker room and why do they struggle and why do they do things like this. Just take a step back and look at Micah and Trayvon, two of the, you know, more prominent players on this team who have been here for 12-5 the last 3 years and know the thin margins at the top and how difficult it is to win those games. They're sitting here at 3-4 when they're lucky to be 3-4, in my opinion, and they look at it and are upset that people are somehow critical of them losing to these top teams in big ways now. And Mike McCarthy, who's supposed to be in charge of the locker, telling them to or trying to flush and push things out, and then Micah Parsons going, okay, well, I'm not hearing any of that. Yeah. I'm gonna do what I want.
Yeah. These nuts.
That's exactly what Micah said. Look at that. That's where they're at right now. Is they are at a place where they don't have a lot of care for any sort of constructive criticism.
That next day, Micah and Diggs, they have to be summoned to McCarthy's office. They have to be sat down. Now, I doubt this happened, and they have to be told, "Did you hear what I said? I'm just going to hit play on this CD player, and I'm going to let you listen to me saying flush this stuff. And hours later, y'all do this crap? What the hell are you doing?" And Mike should definitely do that, since he's probably on his way out of here with nothing to lose. What do y'all, did you hear what I said? Are you deaf? Can you not comprehend it? Did it not sink in? Because they just outright defied the tone and the direction of wanting to get away from this stuff. Because, you know, Micah needed his Bleacher Report money.
Honestly, act like the coach has any control.
Here's what I know. Jason Garrett would summon players to his office and talk to them about things. I don't know if Mike McCarthy has ever summoned a player to be critical of him. No, I don't know, one time in his 5 years here.
Here's Diggs one more time.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just weird to me that your team's media is like trying to portray an image about you, or trying to like throw dirt on your name or throw dirt on your team's name. Like, we supposed to be one. We supposed to be together. I know that's journalism and, you know, they got to report what they report, but at the end of the day, you should be trying to protect us, if anything. You know, not trying to be buddy-buddy with you, smile in your face, trying to talk to you, then talking about you online. Like, just don't talk to me. Like, we don't got to talk at all. Like, I don't need to do interviews with you. You want to ask me something, we can talk on the podcast, and we could figure it out on our own.
One of the things, if someone asked me, like, what area of your job would you like to be better in? I've gone back and forth at times being like, I wish I had better connections. I wish my Rolodex to, like, the current people on the field was better. I just can't go into the locker room and do that. Like, there's all-time greats in the city who established those connections.
Thank you.
These are the these are the reasons why I'm happy that I'm not great in that area. To not be influenced. There's certain hosts that have been in this city and are in this city. All they give a crap about is that the celebrity would acknowledge and wave at them in a restaurant. That's what they get their rocks off to, rather than actually winning and getting ratings and having credibility. All they care about is being a little fanboy, a little fangirl. In this instance, I'm really happy that we have pretty much had that distance. Greggo told us very early on. Hey,
they're not your friend. They're not your friend. They use you. That's what they're doing. They're not your friend. They don't care about you. Now, there's maybe one or two that actually do.
Yeah.
But they're not your friend at the end of the day. Because, I mean, look, I mean, he used the phrase teams media. That's just Jerry. That's just the trickle down from the top. It's the teams media. It's not the teams media. Mm. There is no team media out there. It's
well, there's DallasCowboys.com. The right. team website is a team media. Right.
That's it. But the whole media is not that.
Yeah.
I think these guys conflate the two half the time.
When he talks about you should be protecting us if nothing else, the job of the media is to protect the truth, which is that's why you get protected, quote unquote, when you have the hot mic practice situation with Dak. In training camp. And that's why the local media will then step up when national media is reporting certain things and go like, this is not an accurate portrayal of their relationship. This is the way they practice. This is the intensity. And you'll get defense. But then you're also going to get called out when you're screwing up. That's what it is. They will defend you if the truth is in your defense. Like, they'll step up against the national media and report the opposite. But they're not going to...
Like Jerry's GM involvement, that's a protection for Jerry that we kind of report and relay the reality that Jerry's not just in there with an iron fist.
Yeah, if people wanted to bury Trayvon Diggs, there's no need, there's no desire to do that. Nobody wants to just end him. Nobody wants to end Micah Parsons' credibility. And like I said, you want to talk about protected... And maybe that's why Mike has stayed quiet that whole time. Mike has had plenty of protection at times during his time here. And that's something where you guys have been given benefit of the doubt in a lot of things. But yeah, the reality is you're also going to get it reported on of, yeah, sometimes Trayvon's a little sensitive. Sometimes Mike is not doing his job right. And that's just going to be what goes out there.
Special edition of How Young is Peyton Russell coming in hot. Peyton, what is a Rolodex?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, no way. Pepe!
I don't think I know.
No!
Rolodex.
It's a watch, right?
RJ, that's well done.
Thank you.
Holy crap, Pepe.
I was shot in the dark. I didn't know. I didn't think he wasn't going to know.
Shy Anderson rolling in his grave right now. Young Shy rolling in his grave. 877-881-1053. Am I posting the voting sticker or not after yesterday?
And you are.
And the quarterback change has been made. That's all coming up. Hump Day Edition. Okay. Just getting started on 105.3 The Fan. It is your final chance to get a G-Bag Nation Flagtober piece of merchandise. It's going down today, 2-7 live broadcast, 2630 South State Highway in Grand Prairie, right in front of the Walmart Supercenter. So the final Flagtober stop today in Grand Prairie.
The GP, I might try to sneak out there. If I get a few minutes, I might try to go out there today.
You're a soldier.
I try to be.
You are a station soldier.
Thank you.
I saw the greatness of Colby Tolbert Garage Door with that Richardson stop that everyone has been talking about. Hopefully today can be just as good.
I didn't drink out at that Richardson stop, just like because I told you I was going to send a sloppy email probably the next day.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And as I was walking out, Colby Tolbert, who had a few beverages himself, was like, I'm not used to this dynamic of Bobby Belt being stone sober and me being Bobby Belt across from him.
Yes.
And so, but it was a good time. Great time at Richardson Bar and Grill last week.
All right. So the move was made in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco is taking over for Anthony Richardson.
Yep. And is this a move because of, is it just a benching right? Is it a punishment or is it a permanent move?
Better be permanent.
Well, I mean, it also better not be.
Why?
Well, because Indianapolis has done the same thing for 10 years now. They're just going and getting retread old men. From Phillip Rivers to Matt Ryan to who else?
So I knew that you were going to say this, and I get where you're coming from.
10 starts. He's got 10 starts.
I know, but you do have to stand up in front of the other 50 people in there. You do have to stand up. You can't say to the receivers and the running backs and the D linemen and the linebackers, you better bust your ass or you're going to get replaced. You better this and that and accountability and all that stuff. You got to give these guys... At some point, you got to pick and choose hope. They're 4-4. They're second place in the division. And I'm not even saying I necessarily totally agree with the decision right now. I'm going to trust that the head coach has the read on his locker room and the way that they're reacting to Richardson needing a 60-second timeout on the NBA sideline. But you do have to answer for everyone else. And everyone knows that Flacco is better.
Oh, for sure. And I have no problem.
Just like the Browns. Yeah. Just like I compared it to the Browns. Like Stefanski had to stand up there and lie to everyone. Unless he goes, look. We could get a recharge. We got to get Deshaun on the right track. If, is it Steichen?
Yep.
Steichen stands up there and goes, look, we got to get Anthony Richardson going for the future of this franchise. Maybe you say that, but everyone knows that Joe's better.
Everyone knows he's better. Listen, I have no problem with them benching him for not being in shape or whatever they wanted to call it. Right, I have no problem with them benching him for a punishment.
Yeah,
like this is just not acceptable as an NFL player. But if they're gonna do this because they've already made a decision on him or whatever, like you know what, he just not like that's the whole point.
I mean, he is completing 40% of his passes.
I get it. He's not playing well. He's not playing well at all. But your best chance, like what
best chance for what?
For future success.
Okay.
Is Anthony Richardson either hitting or failing? It's already, not Joe Flacco going 9-8.
It's already failed, though.
No.
Chop. Here's the thing. You said it when he was coming out. He was the biggest wild card when he was getting drafted.
Absolutely.
It was going to take extreme work ethic for him to reach his potential. He's shown you in a year and a half he doesn't have that makeup. So here's the risk you run by playing him. You play him just like San Francisco did. San Francisco went, oh, crap, Trey Lance is awful. Don't expose this, pull it back, and then try to salvage some sort of value. Indianapolis is in the same spot that San Francisco is with Trey Lance. They're going, crap, he's bad. He has an awful work ethic. He's not going to hit it. We can't afford to show him like this anymore. Pull him back, don't expose him anymore, and then try to salvage some sort of trade
but
value.
That, woo! There's your problem. That not your problem. That's the problem that they're with their thought process. It's very short-sighted. They're looking to salvage a fourth-round pick. I'm looking to get the first overall pick by playing him. That the moment you know the guy sucks, just go get your one, man. Just,
we're talking about a year and a half.
Yeah, I know, but like, I think it's way too soon.
That's why I'm trying to get Bobby's email from last night. I want to read it word for word because that was a strong hot take. Of basically saying this thing is done. You're saying it's done.
I can't say. I mean, the guy's had how many starts did he have in college? 15.
If he's raw, doesn't it have to take longer to work?
When you know the work ethic, right? Like, so if you know what it's going to take in order for him to reach that potential, and there were already questions about his work ethic coming out, and then you get into this position now, and you're already showing those same sort of work ethic traits, that's not going to click. That now you've shown what kind of a worker you are, and that you're not going to be able to put in the work to do it.
Work ethic changes though.
No, I don't think you go from just completely lazy to something.
But I do think you either have that or you don't. Certain pros can show you how to work.
Yeah, also, but like,
how many people have you known in your own career, Chop, over the course of like whatever that you've seen aggressively change their work ethic when you've worked with them?
I don't know. I don't really pay attention to work ethic. I care about talent, Bobby. That's all I care about.
But my whole point being that, look, the quote that was out there yesterday from Chase Daniel. When he got asked about this, he said, Anthony Richardson needs to lie to the media. He goes, do not ever say that again in your entire career. You just lost the respect of every football player and every quarterback and every offensive lineman to have ever played the game.
That's the biggest thing.
Well, Chase Daniel also, with all due respect, and I would like to get him as a guest. Like,
Southlake alum.
Chase Daniel has 120 career rushing yards. Like, he doesn't know what it's like to run around whatsoever.
But he knows work. He knows work ethic. So I'm saying he does know work ethic, and he does know.
Okay.
So I'm saying that what
I think it's a little bit of a stretch. Again, I'm not discounting anything you're saying about the draft homework and everything, but I think it's a stretch to say because Richardson took a playoff. I question is to tie that to a total lack of work ethic to me is not necessarily directly connected.
Yeah, he's just tired. He's tired.
He was tired.
Because he may be out of
shape.
Like
Brian Flores yesterday said, are they getting ready to play the Vikings this week? I was like, why is Flores commenting on this? But Flores, who everyone's back in love with now, he goes, did y'all watch the play? He pushed a 300-pounder off of him, ran back and forth. I was tired actually watching it. So Flores was defending him to a degree. I don't know. But work ethic to like being tired off a play, I think that's a reach. I'm not saying that the guy has work ethic. He may be lazy.
It's a quitting mentality, I think, to people. Is that you quit in that moment? You quit when work gets tough. You quit when you're tired. You quit. It's in general. It's everything.
Yeah.
And that it all. I think they believe it all ties together. And it's a sobering moment for you. You've seen the way the Colts have responded to it this week. They're bothered by it.
Of course, I also think it's okay to punish him right now.
I'm fine with that.
And he can play the final five games of the year. Right. If they're not in contention and they're not going to make the playoffs, then he can play the final five games.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with them punishing him either. I think that it's probably the right thing to do. My question was, are they benching him for that, or are they just already done with the experiment after 10 games?
This might be their convenient excuse to get out of the poor play that's happening right now.
It might be.
By the way, if
any organization, though, knows the value of the first overall pick, it should be that one. You know, getting Andrew Luck and Manning before
they're
that.
Not going to have the first overall pick.
They're not this year.
214 says, compare Josh Allen's first 10 games to his eerily similar. Statistically, they look a lot similar. The difference there was always people knew Josh Allen worked.
The answer's in the building. Okay? Like, I know Micah and Trayvon won't believe this, but the answer's in the building. They know by now what type of worker he is. Period. They do know that by now. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. All right, speaking of Josh Allen, Tom Brady is getting criticized a little bit.
Man, this is crazy. We're living in a simulation here. So Brady on the broadcast made a comment about Josh Allen and the way he plays the game, and people are taking offense and outrage to this.
It speaks so much more than just the physical ability of a quarterback. You really begin to take that total ownership of the team as a leader in workouts, in the offseason. How you communicate to everybody and integrate new players becomes a great challenge for a quarterback like Josh, who has really lit the league on fire since he's been in. Sometimes he played like a spaz, like a great schooler on a sugar high. But now he's controlled the chaos. He's like a storm coming into town, and you don't want that storm coming into this town.
Spaz, yeah. Which apparently is an ableist term, I'm told, and highly offensive to people who have physical disabilities as well as to their loved ones. Others on social media called it sickening vocabulary.
Wow.
Very offensive. I remember Lizzo faced backlash for this a couple years ago.
For spaz.
She had she put the word spaz in her lyrics, and I guess she changed it.
And you have to do this nowadays. You have to go and look up how the word has changed or what it actually means. But every definition I'm looking at right here has nothing to do with disability. An incompetent or uncoordinated person lose physical or emotional control. You know what I mean? Like, you snap, like you're going all over the place. Now, I would call Bobby a spaz when he does not have his Adderall, and maybe that is, you know, insensitive to a medical condition. So maybe some of the critics are right, but I would say that this is nothing.
Wow, just nothing.
Nothing.
You are so insensitive, and
maybe you're not posting your I voted sticker.
Person who is very clumsy or awkward. Someone's like spazzing. I view it as like
context matters. I think intent matters.
Yeah.
You know, this is a clear.
Brett Favre played spazzy.
I don't think.
Herky jerky and this and the pump fake and that and all over the place and. That's what I think.
This'll, I'm sure, piss some people off who are on the fan text. But to me, it's. I'm sorry. I don't think that words need to be heavily regulated in general. Like, I mean, I think it is the old sticks and stones may break my bones thing. To me, it's just, and there's clearly no animosity behind it. He's just talking about like, a little all over the place. And it, context matters. And again, if it freaks you out that much when somebody uses a word, then
one of the problems in media. Where did you get that article? I'm curious.
That one was
because Deadspin shut down. I don't know where that came from.
So what I'm trying to say, and you throw it out whenever you get it, Choppy. But one of the problems,
that one was the New York Post.
One of the major problems in media now. You can start a website and take three comments and make that a story. You could say people are reacting like this. All you need, whenever we go to a Bro Bible, which I love as a website, whenever you go to a Barstool, they're only posting like, because they have only that much room in their article on the page, three tweets.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Four tweets. Is it 4,000? Is it 40,000? That's what should constitute everyone's opinion
exactly.
In order to write a story. So if there are 18 tweets having a problem with Tom Brady calling Josh Allen a spaz, you can turn that into a story, and then people think that is an overall thought. It's a humongous major problem we have in the media.
Yeah, the Guardian was the initial one to pick it up, and that makes sense because people are saying that that word has a much different connotation in Europe. That it's like, it's a very offensive term.
See, it's Roger
Europe.
Goodell's fault taking the game international.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's his problem. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. We will go around the rest of the NFL. And are you rooting for the Yankees? I know. Are you rooting for the Yankees to at least keep this thing alive a little longer? That's next on Sean and RJ.